Well, today we're talking about locust. And yes, I did say locust, everyone's favorite thing to talk about on Sunday morning, right? Locusts. Yeah, we'll talk about locusts, and then hopefully everyone goes out from here and enjoys a nice Sunday brunch. Just kidding. Now, in case you don't know much about locusts, here's some of the basic facts. Locusts like to get together. A desert locust swarm can pack 60 million locusts into less than a half a square mile and stretch out to 460 square miles in size. That means that a locust swarm can cover the entire area of Manhattan 20 times over, or could be twice the size of the entire five boroughs. Moreover, each locust can eat its weight in plants in 24 hours, and a full-size locust swarm can eat up to 423 million pounds of plants a day. So, when the book of Joel, which was our Old Testament reading for today, when the book of Joel talks about the locust, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, and how they've ripped out the hearts of the people of Judah, it's describing every farmer's worst nightmare. We're talking about a whole year of crops, a whole community's livelihood, a whole nation's survival devoured in a matter of minutes. There's something about a locust attack and its swarming and its insatiable desire and its savage obliteration of the crops that evokes a horror movie. There's nothing to be done other than to grab the shoulder of the person next to you, sink your fingers into their forearm, and let out a primal scream. Now I wonder if you know that scream. I wonder if you know what it means to experience the devastation of the swarming locust. Of course, I'm not just talking about the kind that destroys crops and petrifies farmers when I say that. I'm also thinking about the young man I knew whose college prank went terribly wrong and wound up in prison for a terrible mandatory minimum sentence, stretching out before him like a yawning gap covering over his future. He said, "I didn't mean it, but now all those years till I come out of jail, all those wasted years." And I'm thinking also of a friend who, shortly after the birth of their first child, found out that the love of her life was having an affair. And now, after years in divorce court and years of uncertainty and expense and antagonism and grief and heartache, which completely took over her life, she's past the point where she's able to have any more children. And her lifelong dream of having a family has been taken away from her. She said, "It feels like he stole my life from me. All those lost years." And I'm thinking about a man who grew up with a father who was so irrationally and explosively angry that those around him lived constantly on edge, walking on eggshells as his whole family developed habits of denial and distrust and infused their relationships for years to come. He said, "My childhood was a gaping hole of lost years. I'll never get back those years." I wonder if any of those stories feels like your story. What they have in common is that in each case, the person felt like they've been robbed of a whole section of their life. They felt, looking back, that all those years had disappeared into a hole. It wasn't that they had no good memories of those times. It was that there was, even now, nothing that could be said about. about those times. Those years were so covered in shame and shrouded in regret and surrounded with grief and misery that they could hardly find the words to speak about them at all. And I wonder if your personal history contains a chapter like that. Maybe you're even in it right now. Now, there may well have been a literal locust swarm in Judah in the 5th century, but for the prophet Joel, the swarm of locusts is also a metaphor for the invading armies that had swarmed into the land of Israel through the centuries, laying waste to cities and plundering crops and leaving the children of God in agony and despair. It's a horrible vision. But it's not where the vision ends. Then Joel says, God will visit every part of the suffering land and reawaken it, starting with the soil and moving to the animals and the trees and finally even to the rain clouds. And then when everything has come back to life, God delivers his promise that the people will eat in plenty and be satisfied. That God, the Lord, will dwell in the midst of them and they will never again be put to shame. This is gospel good news, sealed with a promise that the long years of subjection to foreign rule are coming to an end and there will be good times for Israel once more. But think back on what that means for you on a personal level. Your long nightmare may more or less be over, and there's hope of good things yet to come. And that's great, right? But where does that put those lost years? What does that do for the time that you still struggle to put into words, the period that you can find no sense in, those days in which you still find no meaning? What about those moments when an event occurs that evokes a wave of memories from that buried era and you hope that no one close to you says a tender word or places their hand on yours because you know that if they do, you'll collapse into undisguisable tears. Here's where God speaks right into the heart of all that grief and pain. I will restore the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Listen to that. Not just a promise about the future. Not just a pledge that the good times will roll and the past will be put behind you. No, there is something more and something different. A promise of healing the past. I will restore the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Think of the man who spent all those years in prison. I will restore those years, God says. Think of the woman who spent all that time going back and forth between attorneys and judges while watching the dream of her family vanish before her eyes. God says, I will restore those years. And think of the young man who grew up in that household of unpredictable and violent danger. God says, I will restore those years. I will restore the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Think about your story and let those words speak to you. Hear God's promise of abundant food and an end to shame and dwelling with the Lord your God in your midst. And maybe you've heard such promises before and you've built up resistances to let them reach the raw parts of you that cry out for understanding and hope and renewal. But now, today, hear a new word. I will restore those years. Which years? Come on. You know this now, and you don't need to pretend any longer. You know which years. God knows which years. You know which years. Let yourself hear this promise anew, beyond anything you dared to dream or imagine. I will restore the years the swarming locusts have eaten. And let those words seep deep into your soul. This isn't about blame. It's not about anger, and it's not a question of bitterness. There's a time for all those things and a time when they can be named and spoken about and not hidden from, but recognized and healed. But talking about the locust takes away any of the distraction of culpability. Swarming locusts aren't evil. They're just being locusts. They do terrible damage, but they're part of creation just like the rest of us. The point is that finding who's to blame for all those lost years isn't the answer, and it's not going to solve the pain you feel. The years are still lost, whoever's to blame. This isn't about vindication. This is about something more wonderful than all of that. This is about restoration. It's about something that was lost becoming found, and something that had become a burden and a curse and a plague becoming now in your life, becoming a gift. How does that happen? How can the unspeakable and unmentionable and the constantly threatening source of loss and pain and degradation be restored as something that brings hope? Well, let's think about this through a few comparisons. Restore can mean replace, right? But is that what God is offering when he offers to restore those years? On the surface, it looks like that at first. He's offering grain and wine and oil to replace the ones taken by the locusts. But replacing something doesn't really restore it, does it? When a friend has a prized possession and you break it and you get the money together and you get them a new one, they pretend and you pretend that the replacement is just as good. But is it really ever the same as what was lost? And restore can also mean reimburse. When something's lost, you can try to make up for it by compensating for its monetary value. But things that are really valuable are worth a whole lot more than anything that money can buy. More often than not, you'd take the money, but you never for a minute think that reimbursement is the same as restoration. I will restore the years, God says. Those years can't be replaced and they can't be reimbursed for what's been lost. So how can they be restored? Well, perhaps a better way to think about it is as being reincorporated. That's to say, they can come to shape your future in unexpected and beautiful ways. Experience is the name that we give to our mistakes, Oscar Wilde said. And when experience does no more than take us back to those locust years, there's not much to be said for it. But when experience is given time and understanding and discernment and gentleness, and when you later find yourself in a situation that calls for all the resources that you can draw on, all the resources you develop during that time, then experience can be distilled into wisdom. We'd all like to imagine that we walk forward into our future, but really the truth is, So often we walk backwards into it, composing our reactions and behavior in unforeseen circumstances out of the suffering and the pain and all that was lost in our own personal histories. If you're thinking to yourself, I can't imagine any circumstances in which these locust years could come to offer any kind of blessing, the answer may be perhaps not yet. But there could be something ahead of you, some day still coming where you'll think differently and where you'll find yourself drawing on that troubling times in ways that you could never have predicted before. And at the very least, those years will inform your compassion, because then you'll realize that if you have in your past some years the swarming locusts have eaten, maybe this person you just met, however slick and put together and smart they look, maybe they have those years in their past too. Listen to those words once more. I will restore the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Imagine you no longer had to try so hard to forget the past, artfully changing the subject every time the subject got too close to locust territory. Always wondering in every relationship what the other person would think if they really knew the truth about who you are. Just imagine you were promised a future that didn't just replace what the locust had eaten, didn't just reimburse you for it, but truly grafted those years back into your destiny. No longer now as a burden and a curse, but instead as wisdom and compassion. Just imagine, in other words, that you were being given the gospel that opens our graves and gives back the past. That's what the gospel of Jesus does. And there's a word that speaks to this too, isn't there? More than replacement, more than reimbursement, more even than reincorporation, that word is resurrection. The locusts scorched the earth till there was no life in it. And Jesus, too, was buried in that scorched earth, and there was no life left in him. But he was brought back into the story. He was restored so that all the years that the locusts had eaten, the years of God's companionship with Israel over many centuries of glories and tragedies, the years of his own life and ministry, and every year that has come to pass since, it's resurrection that finally heals those locust years. Resurrection that gives back our past as a gift, and resurrection that begins to create hopeful futures out of the ruins of our wasted histories. I will restore the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Think one last time about your wasted years, your locust years, and ask yourself, is it really beyond God to restore them? Will the God who raised Jesus from the dead really let the swarming locusts have the last word? The God who transformed the greatest waste of all, the ruthless slaying of the Son of God, can he not restore your years? Can he not resurrect even you? Amen.